Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
We just get straight into God's word for us this morning. God's word is powerful. It's living. And God sends his word into our lives to give us light, to bring truth, to set us free, to give us to paint a vision of what is possible, either for you or what's possible for his church. He wants to speak to every single person this morning, a personal word. And it's so important that we open our hearts to listen to what he wants to say to us. You might have had an extremely busy week. You might be going through a difficult time. You might be riding the high waves this week. But whatever condition or circumstances you're in, the most important thing is that you hear the voice of the shepherd this morning. And so I'm just going to pray that the Lord would speak to each one of us. And if you want to agree with that, say, yes, I give you my heart, that I have a listening heart, an open heart, to hear what your spirit is saying. So, Father, I want to thank you for your word that is living and powerful. And that the word is near us here. It's in our heart and mouths. The word of faith which we preach. And Lord, I want to thank you that you say that your sheep hear your voice and that they follow you. And we just pray, Holy Spirit, that you will speak to every single one of us this morning. That you will, Lord, speak through me as your vessel, as your servant. And that your people, Lord, will have open hearts and open minds to hear what your Spirit is saying to us as your church. And as we've celebrated your presence, Lord, we continue to do that. And we thank you, Lord, that through your Spirit and word, you will guide us this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we spoke a little bit about the people of God being like a spring of water, living water. That God's people are to transform difficult times and places and dry places. And any person without God is in a spiritual drought. They're dead spiritually. And so Christians are to transform dead places into living places. Places where there is no life into a life-transforming place. And in Psalm 84, last week we were reading about the Valley of Baca, how when we, as God's people, believing in him, filled with the Holy Spirit, as we pass through the Valley of Baca, which is a place of weeping and trouble and difficulty and hardship, we make it a place of springs. We have the presence and the power of God in us to transform the world around us. And not only do we make desert places a spring, we also see an outpouring of rain. Because the scripture in Psalm 84 says, not only will there be springs where you are, there will be rain. There will be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Wow! So that makes every born-again believer a world changer. I'm happy. Oh, it's not about changing the world again, is it? Yes, it is. It is. It's about making people sing again. It's about people seeing and coming into relationship with God. It's about captives being liberated. Yes, it is. It's about us taking what God has done and given us to change the world, to change people who are in bondage and bring them into freedom. So yes, it is about changing the world. But the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus didn't just give for the world. He gave the Holy Spirit to live in us. And he promised that the Holy Spirit will be our helper, our comforter, that he will live in us and be with us. And Jesus actually said that the Holy Spirit will be like living water springing up to everlasting life in every believer. So you have a God supply of life in you that God wants to spring up and influence your soul. Transform your emotional state, your ability, your creativity mentally. I believe the life of the Spirit is able to give ideas, creative ideas, on how to bring up children and how to deal with business life, on where to go and what to do and how to see a successful marriage. The creativity of the Holy Spirit does not just finish in a church meeting. He goes on like a spring that never ends. And so wherever you go, the Holy Spirit comes with you. But it's just understanding that God wants to see any desert places brimming with life. The life and power of the Holy Spirit. Can you turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17? Because I just want to look at a little bit for 5 minutes on this spring in us, the life of the Holy Spirit in us, before we move on to the life of the Holy Spirit upon us to change the world. So the life of the Spirit in us. Are you ready, church, for the word of the Lord? Right, let's just hear this word. This is the word of the Lord. Jeremiah 17 and verse 6. It's a wonderful few verses that carries with it a promise for every believer. Blessed is the man or woman, the person, who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water, that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. Say always green.
Always green.
Wow. So you're not going to wither with the life of the Spirit. You're going to stay flourishing and strong in God. Sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries. That's where we got no worries from. From the word. The Australians say it, but actually the word said it first. No worries, mate. It has no worries in a year when you should be worrying. In a year of drought. Drought causes the whole of society to fail. But a Christian doesn't fail in drought. Because we're not subject to society. Because God himself is our source. Our provision. He is our everything. He is more than enough. Thank you, Jesus. I just love it that no matter what I go through in the future, he is my more than enough. Now, I'm expecting a good outcome for my future. But I know that in every season, there are trials. There are difficulties that happen to all of us. Jesus said there would be. But in every trial or drought, there is a stream of life in me that enables me to send out my roots, send out my faith. My heart faith goes into Jesus. I put my mind on him. I fix my roots. Everything about me, I'm getting my life, Lord, not from the drought, but from Jesus who never runs out. And so we see this wonderful picture in a year of drought. This kind of tree or this kind of believer never fails to bear fruit. The failure of fruit bearing is down to the roots. When my roots are in the right place, i.e. in Jesus, in his presence, in the life of his Spirit, in his promises, and I kind of drink up, I receive from him, I take from his life, and his life fills my life. In that place, and that reality comes the fruitfulness of every believer. Because the fruit is not down to me, but to his life in me. He is my ability to bear fruit. But I do have roots that can wander. Have you ever seen a tree I have, in the rainforest, actually, in Australia, I've seen trees which roots somehow can't find anything down there. They start to come up. And as soon as you get your roots out of Jesus and into the atmosphere or into the drought or into somebody else or into your soulish emotions, can I tell you, your negative emotions, don't put your roots in there. Put them in Christ and your negative emotions will transform. I believe we're to walk in the healing power of Jesus, both for the physical body, but also for every part of the human being. Jesus is our healer. He is our restorer. And so if you've been through a bad time, just connect back to Jesus. And drink from me, Jesus said. Drink. If anyone's thirsty, let him drink. And so in Australia, you can see these roots, and an upturned tree can have roots right out. But this tree, which is symbolic of a believer who's trusting in the Lord, let me tell you, we need to be trusting in the Lord and our confidence in Him. I depend on His presence in me. I depend on His word. His promises are unfailing. He never got a promise wrong. He never gets anything wrong. He is always right. I don't just always know how it's going to work out. But His word is unfailing. And His promises are sure and certain. You can't change the word of God, but the word of God can change you. And so the word, the promises, every good promise I can put my roots in. And Jesus actually said to His disciples, "My words are spirit and they are life." So when I, every day I spend time in the word, as every believer should do. Every day we should be putting our roots into... I should be drinking from the word, receiving the life of the word. I should be in prayer and saying, "Lord, I thank you," as I was this morning at 5 o'clock. "Father, I thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you. I can drink of your love for people today. I can drink of your peace. I don't have to have any worries about today because you're my peace." And so I'm full when I get here. I don't come to church empty. Actually, and I used to come full before I was a minister because I believe in staying full. I don't believe in getting empty. I mean in daily filling. Every day I park up in the presence of the Lord, fill up my tank, Lord, so that I can live in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You know, many people live with this kind of false concept of personality problems. And they say, "Well, it's down to my personality that I'm mad or bad." And to be honest, it's just an excuse for the flesh. Because your personality doesn't define you. Christ in you is the definition of your life. I've heard women say when they go through the menopause, and I've heard men say it too when their wives go through the menopause, they put everything down to the menopause. Well, if your roots are in bad, negative emotions, you will definitely keep getting worse emotions. But if you drink, see, I believe the power of the Holy Spirit overrides and heals negative emotions. So, in other words, I don't believe for a bad menopause. Oh, happy day. I don't believe I'm the fruit of any character default that was mine before I got saved. I believe the fruit of the Spirit, if I draw on Him, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And when I act bad, I know it was me needing to say sorry, because it's possible for me to not act bad. And so this kind of believer is living in the life and power of the Holy Spirit, not in self-power, is dependent on the one who lives in them and the promises that he has given in his eternal word, that are spirit and life, that daily we can live in this life. And that's why a Christian can be completely different, can have a different manifestation in trouble. Not because we are sort of challenging our own thinking all the time to try and be different, but because we're experiencing the drawing up of the life of the Holy Spirit. This is a reality, guys. We are to see a manifestation of the Holy Spirit even in our emotions. And in the way that people come, you know, you create an atmosphere wherever you go. Somebody wore some nice aftershave today when I hugged them. And I thought, nice. But you know, the best atmosphere that we can create is actually Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when somebody comes into your kind of atmosphere, starts to talk to you, wouldn't it be great if they got a touch of his joy, of his love and acceptance, the fruit of peace and forgiveness? Wouldn't it be great to be an atmosphere changer because of the life of the Spirit that you are constantly drawing up? So please don't, well, let me put it this way. Please do yourself a favor and stop putting things down to your character. And do your husband or wife a favor by not blaming the conditions that are around you, but say, Lord, I thank you that in everything I can win, because in all these things I am more than a conqueror because of his Spirit in me. God will transform your difficult times, but he'll transform you. Mostly he transforms you first, so that you become a person who's actually that spring that is living water that is transforming everything about you. What a promise this is. Take Jeremiah 17, meditate on it, drink, and actually say, Lord, thank you that I'm a drought-free, fruit-bearing Christian. Drought-free, fruit-bearing believer. In everything, we are to bear fruit, and fruit that lasts. Now, that is the purpose of the Holy Spirit in us. And it's to be so stark and contrasting to what we would naturally be that people are shocked at you and your character. But the Holy Spirit was also given, Jesus said, for another purpose. And in Acts 1, chapter 8, Jesus said, I'm going to send my Spirit. My Spirit is going to come upon you. And he said to the disciples in Acts 1:8, wait in Jerusalem until the Spirit is poured out on high. And he said, when the Spirit comes, the Spirit will come upon you. Say upon you. Amen. So the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you so that you will have power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So Jesus was saying the Holy Spirit through the new birth would come into you. But through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you would receive power to be his witnesses in Taunton, in Truro, in London, in Scotland, and throughout the whole earth. So the new birth was not his only game plan to change the world. He said, I'm not just wanting you to believe in me and receive forgiveness of sins. I am wanting my church to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That word baptized means to be immersed with the Holy Spirit. And this is God's way of changing the world. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is God's way to change the world. Tell that person next to you exactly what you just heard. The Holy Spirit is God's answer. It's His way of changing the whole world. He changes us first with the fruit of the Spirit, but then He comes upon us with power. And I want to tell you, you haven't yet experienced all that the Holy Spirit can do in the life of a believer. Sometimes I don't think you're I think you're zoning out this morning. I just take authority over the enemy. Even in the praise, there wasn't the normal release this morning. So, in the name of Jesus, let's agree. We take authority over every spirit that wants to distract and bring any other kind of focus. And Lord, we rule our minds through faith in the name of Jesus. And we thank You for the revelation and power of Your Spirit to keep us alert right now to hear the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Thanks, Lord. Acts 19. Let's turn to there. So God's way of changing the world is that the Holy Spirit will come upon us. Now, in Acts 19, I'd like us to just look at how the baptism of the Holy Spirit works in Ephesus. Does anybody know where Ephesus is or was? Turkey. Ephesus was in Turkey, the current Turkey. And it was a major port city. A lot of travel. Businessmen would come in and out of there. It had a lot of visitors coming and going. And in Acts 19, we read that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. And there he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" This is a really important question that Paul is asking, because he knows that if anybody or this region is ever going to change, it's not just by believers who receive Christ. It's by believers who receive the Holy Spirit. And so he asks the question, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Now, if we were to compare Ephesus to one of our modern day cities, I would say it's similar to Amsterdam, or similar to probably a very kind of sex orientated place where people would travel to for sex. It had at the center of its idolatry or worship was the worship of Diana. Now, Diana was the goddess of sex and fertility. I just thought I'd give you some background to the environment that the spirit-filled believer Paul comes into. It's always important to see the context of where the Spirit is going to do some amazing stuff. So, gambling and prostitution were legal. And in fact, in the process of worshipping Diana, the temple of Diana would be filled with prostitutes. And the worshippers would go and use the prostitutes. And then on their way out, they would buy a silver idol of Diana, the goddess. Because the majority of the economy was based on the manufacture of idols of Diana. And so, like today, some people would get on a plane to get to Amsterdam to use the prostitutes in Amsterdam today. They might want to remember the weekend and buy a little something for their return journey. And so, people would go in and worship, use the prostitutes, get an idol, and go off to wherever they lived. And Diana was the most known goddess of that region. Massively worshipped and actually brought about just the core economy of Ephesus. And so we have Paul and 12 believers who hadn't yet been baptized in the Spirit. And this is the scene that God is going to come into through people. Now remember, we're here to transform the world. Now the name of Jesus wasn't even known in that region. People had never heard about Jesus. Jesus hadn't been preached yet. And what's interesting is if you read the whole chapter, chapter 19, you will read that within 2 years, the city was unrecognizable. Diana was almost out of business. There were hardly any economies based on making idols. And she hardly had any followers. But the name of Jesus, listen to this, didn't just transform the city, reached the continent of Asia within 2 years. You read Acts 19, you will say this is incredible. And it all starts with Paul popping in to Ephesus and deciding to stay for 2 years. And he finds a hunger in the believers there for more. Because they're not just satisfied with believing in Jesus. They know the Christian life was set up by Jesus for something more, but they hadn't heard about the Holy Spirit yet. They were hungry for God. And I want to say something here. In every move of God, both through the scriptures and the book of Acts, or in our history as the Church of Jesus Christ through the generations, in every continent, in every place, the world has always been transformed, starting with believers hungry for the Holy Spirit, hungry for God. Not satisfied with what they have got, but hungry for what they want to see God do. That is always the first step to city transformation. It's not about how bad it is out there, it's about us. Because no matter how bad it is out there, we, in the power of the Holy Spirit, have the ability to transform that. In Azusa Street in 1906, if you have a history of revival, you love to read about revivals. In America, there was a Bible college with 40 students in this college. And these students were given an assignment from their lecturer to go and find out from the Word of God the biblical evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. So the assignment was, read the Bible, find out what is the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now remember, the lecturer did not go to any denomination. He said, go to the Word of God and you will find out what the evidence is. Because the authority of the Church of Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And so these students, in a time, let me just paint the picture a little bit. The time of the Azusa Street move of God was in a time when most churches did not have the power of the Holy Spirit operating in them. And so they were believers in Jesus, a bit like the guys in Ephesus, but they weren't baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. And so these students spent a whole week studying the Word, looking up biblical references, which would do us all the world of good. And as they did that, they came back to their lecturer a week later and said, the biblical evidence of someone being filled with the Holy Spirit is the manifestation or the evidence, the the obvious sign, the proof, is speaking in tongues. And the lecturer said, is there anything else to uphold any other argument? They said, no, this is it. We've studied the scripture. The biblical evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking with tongues. And the lecturer said, well, have you been filled with the Spirit? They said, no. He said, do you want to? They said, yes. So God always moves where there's a yes. Where there's a hunger created in the hearts of people for more. And the Holy Spirit fell upon them. They got filled. Remember, the Spirit will come upon you. Now, the Spirit upon us is actually to minister to others. It's actually for the world. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. It's for others. It's for other people. And they received the power and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in tongues. Now, in 1906, this was laughed at. It was mocked. They were told they were a cult. They were also seeing unusual manifestations of the Holy Spirit in miracles and healings, which hadn't been seen for years. Remember, the church of that day was so religious, they didn't even believe that there was a Holy Spirit for today. This is our heritage. People have paid a great price for us to live in what we are in today. And their meetings were full of the presence of the Holy Spirit. When they worshipped, it would seem that God himself arrived. It wasn't just singing songs. It was about the manifest presence of God in the church. Believers were connected with God. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They didn't have to tell them to praise. They just praised all day long. They didn't have to say, shout. They shouted their praises. Now, what's interesting is that probably 40 years later, there was a departure in the churches. This move of the Spirit spread worldwide. And it was like the one match set afire. Like Paul, he was the one match that started a fire. One Spirit-filled believer can start a fire for God. And there was a departure from the life of the Spirit. Christians, unfortunately, there aren't, I'm just going to say it. Christians began to get embarrassed about bringing their friends and visitors to the services because of the speaking in other tongues. They began to say, we're embarrassed. We don't think God can reach them if we speak in tongues. Let's have a seeker-sensitive service. And they kind of forgot that the Bible actually says in Corinthians that tongues is a sign for unbelievers. And they will wake up to the fact that God is here. Tongues is a sign for unbelievers. It's also a gift in prayer where we speak directly to God. But tongues speaks that there is a supernatural presence of God here and now, and God is beyond your understanding. And the departure meant that churches actually grew more insular and just came to meetings and went home and basically generally lived a very downgraded Christian life. But what happened any time that the Holy Spirit is hungry, people are hungry for the Holy Spirit again, is that there are greater manifestations of God's glory and presence, and the power of God comes upon our evangelism. In fact, records tell us today, and I know this is a different message, but it's important to hear about our history. A as the Church of Jesus Christ. It's important we understand that the life of the Spirit is non-negotiable to really please God and fulfill the Great Commission. And we're a non-negotiable church because we're the Church of Jesus Christ. Don't get upset. Get blessed with the Holy Spirit. Don't reject. Receive. And wherever the Holy Spirit is talked about, preached about, manifest, believed in, where there are signs, the sign that Scripture speaks of and speaking into other tongues, the church is growing. More people are getting saved where there's Holy Spirit churches than just Bible-believing churches. We are to be Bible-believing, Holy Spirit-filled churches. And so I'm looking at us. Are you today seeing that we don't want to go that way, we want to go that way and see the growth of the kingdom and the Church of Jesus Christ added to, so that we generally will see what God expected us to see in every generation? Spirit-filled believers transforming the world. So back to Acts 19, when Paul found these disciples, 12 people, he asked the question, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answered, no, we haven't even heard that there's a Holy Spirit. You might not have heard today that there really is a Holy Spirit, that Jesus is the Savior, but whoever believes in him receives forgiveness of sins, a new life, a new heart, and also God wants to baptize you, come upon you to serve others in his purpose. We haven't even heard that there's a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Amazing, they were that hungry for God, John's baptism was enough, which was just repent. And they believed in Jesus, but they'd been baptized in John's baptism, not Jesus' baptism. So that's why they had to be rebaptized in the name. The only name to be baptized in is in the name of Jesus, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, and he told people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. And on hearing this, they're like, fair enough, let's get baptized in the name of Jesus then. Not much fuss or 5 years of hanging around. They were these kind of hungry, if that's what God says, let's do it. Ooh. Now he says, pray for the sick. That's what God's... This is the kind of environment that Paul brought the message of the power of the Holy Spirit in the church. Amazing. So on hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, verse 6. When Paul placed his hands on them, these are the 12 that had believed and baptized, the Holy Spirit came on them. So they got born again when they believed in Jesus. Now they got the Holy Spirit on them. This generation need us to have the Holy Spirit on us, not just in us. Come on, church. This is who we are and where we're going. The Holy Spirit came upon them, and as he always does, gave them a new language. As he always does. As he always does. He never doesn't. He always does. Every reference in the New Testament about being baptized in the Spirit is speaking with other tongues. Hallelujah. Isn't it great what's available? You may not have heard it before, but it is available. You may not have seen it happen before, but it's for you. The evidence of speaking in other tongues. Not only do they speak in other tongues, but actually they prophesied. They prophesied. There were 12 men in all, and they began to prophesy, speak supernaturally. Now, this doesn't always happen when somebody's filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Spirit. What always happens is they speak with other tongues. They don't always prophesy. But Tongues is the doorway into the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gift of tongues releases you into the other gifts of healing, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, which God wants you to operate in. This was a good message this morning. And so tongues is a gift. Now, when people become embarrassed about speaking in other tongues, and churches become embarrassed about speaking in other tongues, what they're saying is, we're embarrassed about God. Not quite the right way around, is it? I'd rather be embarrassed than him glorified. I remember when I first spoke in tongues, I felt a little bit self-conscious. A little bit embarrassed. But do you know what? I'd rather I was embarrassed and him not. And this is for his glory anyway. If he decided tongues is a gift that you and I should start off life with and keep going with, because it's not just for when you are baptized in the Spirit, it's to go on and on speaking in tongues. Paul said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. So he was a tongue talker. And I realize that when Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit coming upon us, he meant that when we speak in tongues, there's a power released in evangelism to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And we need power to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, what about this trendy culture talking church that we have around worldwide today? Because a lot is spoken about culture, and I believe that there is a kingdom culture, and I believe in using that word. But we have to understand what we mean by culture. Because the culture that Paul went into was pretty much full of sin and the devil. And the whole culture of Ephesus did change. How did the Holy Spirit become relevant in that culture? How does he become relevant in our culture, in this modern day society? Would people say, yes, but you are not, you're eliminating people because of the culture of the Holy Spirit amongst you? Can I just make a few points from the Word of God? Because I believe the Holy Spirit is given for every culture. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit was poured out on a lot of Jews. Hebrew culture. They all began to speak with other tongues. So that the Holy Spirit was in that culture. In Acts 8, the Holy Spirit was poured out on Samaritans. Now, Samaritans are half Jew, half Gentile. So the Holy Spirit came upon them when Paul and Peter went to lay their hands on them. They spoke with other tongues. Then, in Acts 10, we see a Roman centurion connected with Peter, hears the gospel, gets saved, and he begins to speak with other tongues as he is filled with the Holy Spirit. So we could say the Roman culture is for the Holy Spirit. So we've got the Hebrew culture. We've got the Roman culture. We've got the Samaritan culture. And in Acts 19, we've got the Greek culture. So I want to tell you the Holy Spirit is relevant. Speaking in tongues is relevant in this culture. Just thought I'd unpack it biblically so you know how to answer people when they say, we don't speak in tongues in our meeting. Well, we do. We're wise about it. We don't just have a whole service in tongues. I don't know if you've noticed. Like, oh, this is 1¾ hours. Here we go. Keep going. Amen. Let's go and get a cup of coffee. That's not what we're talking about. But we are not talking about determining what the Holy Spirit does in his church. So, would you say Jesus is narrow-minded? Well, he's not in terms of the people that he wants to embrace. He wants all to be saved. But he's very narrow-minded about the way that they can be saved. I've talked to people saying, well, there's many roads that lead to God. And there is actually only one. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is narrow-minded, guys. He's also narrow-minded in the word about the way the Holy Spirit is received. All speak in tongues, biblically. That's narrow-minded. That's not, well, I go to a church that doesn't. Well, then you don't go to a biblical church. The foundation of the church is the Word of God. Unless they haven't heard, let's go and tell them that they can be filled with power to be the witnesses of Jesus in this generation. Speaking with other tongues as the evidence. Are you there? Are you with me? So his church is saved his way. His church receives power his way. There are other manifestations and there are wonderful gifts. There's wonderful things the Lord wants to do. But there's something that is important in the mind of God about the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit, which is speaking with other tongues. And there's something very important about preserving the power of the Holy Spirit in the Church of Jesus Christ as normal, as part of who we are, so that we understand that this culture of the Holy Spirit transforms the world. Not becoming like the world. Jesus went in completely different to the world. He saved sinners. He sat and ate with sinners. But he remained different. And we are different by nature and by power. We have a different nature and we have the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm enjoying this morning's meeting, just casting a vision before us that goes beyond what people say church is and into the will of God for the church of Jesus Christ. And we will not let go of the life of the Spirit. We will not compromise the power of the Holy Spirit and speaking with other tongues. Kind of setting down. It's a foundational kind of thing this morning, but through the word. So that we all understand what we mean when we say be filled with the Holy Spirit. So, after 2 years, it says here, when Paul, verse 6, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied, and there were about 12 men in them, among them. Just quickly, because I want us to see there are three specific things that happen when somebody gets filled with the Holy Spirit. And this can happen through you. Okay, you can see somebody filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you know how to do this? Yeah, so let's read from the word. What happens if somebody is a believer and I say, oh, there's more. Do you want it? Yes, I want it. Let me just pray for you. What do you do? Paul laid hands, so that's speaking of an impartation, on them, number one. Number two, God did his part. He filled. Number three, they spoke. The individuals began to speak rather than go, nothing's happened. They began to speak and the Holy Spirit began to sukari isoboharande kinamaranda gaso and a sweet flow of the language of heaven began. It's a sweet flow. It's a precious gift. And it's wonderful. It will mean you'll produce more fruit because there's power behind that gift. The power of the Holy Spirit is behind that gift. So that's the biblical pattern. And that's how to be filled. And if you today are not yet filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking with other tongues, and you want to be, and you want to be, and you want, he's precious. We don't just hand him out to casual, I might try it. This is God we're talking about. These guys were like, we haven't heard there's a Holy Spirit. This is fantastic. This will make my whole life different. I need the fullness and baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yes, I want him. I really want to be filled. I don't want to be, oh, well, I don't know if I agree with speaking in tongues, and I don't want to be put. I'm hungry for God. I want to do what he wants me to do so that I can do the miracles and the signs in this generation. So what happened was, Paul, after getting these guys baptized in the Holy Spirit, now they became powerhouses. He spoke the word of God in this synagogue for about 3 months. But they actually became obstinate and refused the message. Now, what I like about Paul, he's like preaching in the synagogue. And what's happening is the people are saying, nah, don't like it, don't want to. It's not true, don't like it. Paul says, no problem, cheerio. What would have happened if he'd stayed there? No city transformation. What happens if we stay with religious unbelief? That's why I recommend anybody that gets saved comes out of religious churches and into spirit-filled, Holy Spirit-empowered places where the Word of God is preached. It's not right to say you can just go to that other church. Come with me and come into the fullness of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes the difference. I'm liking this. I'm liking this because this is a teaching anointing this morning about building up the church and the understanding and the ways of God. So he left them. He legged it. He got out. He moved away. He stopped preaching to them. He said, no more. Had your chance. Off I go. There are hungry people somewhere else. Have you ever thought what would happen if the church stopped trying with the same people after 20 years and said, let's go to a crowd that wants to hear? Have you ever thought that it could be a strategy to keep us locked up in, well, I'm just going to go to this one? Ah. It's not that you don't give up on anyone. But if they don't receive it, find someone who will. Because there's a harvest field ready out there. And the devil wants us focused on the ones who are not receptive rather than the ones who are hungry for the message of the gospel. So Paul left. As today's minister, they were saying, oh, that pastor's so kind of not loving. He's not loving, pastor. Don't love the people. That's what we follow the Lord. We follow the Lord. We are led by the Lord. And sometimes people criticize us. But heaven will actually reveal whether we did his will or not. And so Paul left. And then he says, he took his disciples with him. Come on, 12 of you. Come on, off we go. All of those, come on. Spirit-filled, city-transforming people, come. They went into a place called the lecture hall of Tyrannus. They had daily discussions in there. So he taught for 2 years in this school. Now, I'm going to finish in a minute, but Tyrannus was the leading physician of the day. So in other words, major doctor. Paul says, you've got a building. You're not using it in the afternoons. Can we come in? It's a bit like when we were in school halls. You've got a building. We need it. When can we use it? And began to teach the word of God. And these believers weren't just hearers. They must have been doers. Because what they heard, they took out. It didn't just stay in church. It went out into the world, which is why the whole of Asia heard the word of the Lord. What can God do with spirit-filled believers? Well, he can totally change a city where idolatry, sexual perversion, immorality becomes something that is so not talked about because it's not there. To a city that is full of believers. Ephesus, the people who grew up in that time became the leaders. There were church plants out of Ephesus that are spoken of in Revelation. The six churches in Revelation were the churches that came out of the move of God in Ephesus. A strong church was raised in Ephesus, where there was training, there was biblical pastoring, there were prophets, apostles, so that there was these anointed gifts coming in to train the church of Jesus Christ, to be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. There's so much that happened because one spirit-filled man found 12 hungry believers. And they received the Holy Spirit and they said, right, we stay in a place of training because that's vital for the whole of our lives, is that we're hungry to be trained and equipped to serve God. But that we don't leave it here, but that we go into all the world and use the power of the Holy Spirit to change the world. Praise God. Paul didn't go to change the strategy, the culture. He went to save souls and fill them with the Holy Spirit and equip them to serve the Lord. Let's stand.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044-1823-664-186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.